Hi, this is Bo Burnham, director of 8th Grade, and you are listening to Film Wax Radio.
Hello, everybody. It's Thursday, July 18th, 2019. My name is Adam Shartoff, and this is Film Wax Radio, episode number 565. Every 565th episode, I like to bring on Michael Moore, and so this is that episode. Cross this one off the bucket list. There's a handful of people that I have been wanting on the podcast since I started it back in 2011, 12, whatever it was. You know, I thought, wow, this is the guy that would be like, okay, I finally arrived, you know, that would bring him on. So let me just explain. Michael Moore has a film festival in Michigan. It's called the Traverse City Film Festival. And I was invited this year to come up and go and see it. So that's all happening in a matter of, days. This is their 15th year. And it's quite a lineup. And by the way, some people think, and myself included for a long time, that it was just documentaries because, of course, Michael Moore is a documentary filmmaker. But in fact, these are both narratives and documentaries. And he handpicks, I think the majority of these films. I mean, I'm sure many are recommended to him or put in front of him, but he scours the globe. This is according to him. This is according to the literature. So the Traverse City Film Festival will be taking place Tuesday, July 30th through the 4th of August. And I will be there for the majority of that time. They will be feting Lily Tomlin. So cross your fingers, maybe we'll get her on the podcast. I don't know what's going to happen when I get there. I have, a bunch of films I would like to see. I have a bunch of people I want to see, but we'll just hope. So I was supposed to get Michael. You know, we had this whole very techie way of doing the show. It turned out at the very last minute he had to switch course. So he's in his car, and, you know, it's always, let's say, preferred that he would be in a more optimal location. But look, this is no time to start complaining. This is Michael Moore on the podcast, and we talk about a lot of different things, which are part of the doing the festival and part of the selection process. And so when we go into politics, it's really just an extension of what he's trying to achieve with this festival, which is to open people up. You know, he talks about how introducing this festival to this part of the country really had an impact sociopolitically. I didn't know about that. I was very surprised and interested. He's a sweet guy. He's a great guy. I never worked for the guy, but I'm telling you right now, my limited number of times that I've been either in conversation with him or in the same room with him have all been very, very pleasant, to say the least, experiences, if not outright just great. So there was an occasion where I went to a screening. I was with Sylvia Miles, the actress who recently passed away, and she introduced me to Michael. And Michael had just made the movie Sicko, and I talked to him about it. I said, you know, I think I'm going to leave the country. I'm going to move to Canada, you know, because it was so much about that. It was so much about how socialized medicine and socialized healthcare was so much better. And so I jokingly said that. He says, no, don't do it. Stick around. Stay here and fight the good fight. I was kidding. But that's he's an earnest guy. And then I met him again very recently. At last December, I was at a holiday party thrown by his producers, who are friends of mine and friends of this podcast. And there he was. I wasn't surprised because I half expected that he might be there. And sure enough, he was, and it was a small, very, very small group of people around. at that moment, and I went up to him and I ambushed him about the podcast. Well, I after some time and then a subsequent email that was forwarded to him, I just gave up on it. But as it turns out, I planted seeds and I was invited to the to go out to the Traverse City, and that's the background. So I'm going to be going. We'll be podcasting from there in a couple of weeks from now. You'll be getting dispatches from the festival. But in the meantime, here it is. Finally, after all these years, sit back, enjoy. Let me know what you think. This is the man, Michael Moore, here on Film Wax Radio. Michael?
Yes.
Hi, it's Adam.
Oh, hey.
How you doing? You having some nice weather in Michigan?
It's a beautiful day in northern Michigan.
You're down to the final couple of weeks here, so it's probably necessary that you're there, correct?
Yeah. I have to come back and do stuff prior in New York in a week or so, but other than that, I'm helping out here. It's good for everybody here that I'm here.
Oh, very good. That's excellent. I appreciate your squeezing in the time, first of all. So,
No, thank you for doing this. I really appreciate it.
Oh, good. Well, it's a pleasure. Trust me, it's just a thrill to also, I can't wait to come. It makes sense also that you are right now in Traverse City because, of course, you are not only president of the festival, you're programmer, and that's a lot of duties.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're...
But I enjoy it. I mean, I get to show movies I find all over the world,
right,
to people in this part of the country. You know, the idea of going to see a foreign movie in a movie theater anymore doesn't exist.
Right. No.
Outside of New York or L.A.
Indeed, and I would say that festivals have really picked up the slack in that regard, you know. In the last 10 years, I don't think it's a coincidence of timing that there's just been an outgrowth of festivals, you know, all over the country, you know, which again has taken up the slack for a lot of those types of films that deserve to get into theaters. They just all don't get that opportunity. But in festivals, what's nice, especially something like what you guys are doing in Traverse City, is the community can really see these films, and you know, it's a great opportunity to see them on the big screen with their friends and family and neighbors. So it's fantastic.
Right. Yeah. It's a great way to see these movies, and this is our 15th year of doing it. So
yep.
Last few years, usually over 120,000 admissions during the week. So it's a lot of people and a lot of enthusiasm.
Well,
because you know, people still love the movie, and they want to. They want to see the movies with other people in a dark room with a large screen, you know.
Of course.
So,
and we're going to have a great time in a couple of weeks doing just that. I just want to get this out of the way. It's from July 30th through August 4th. By the way, when I post this, tickets will be on sale. I know they go on sale tomorrow at 10 o'clock to the general public. But we'll be on top of that. So right after 10 or sometime, we'll post this afterwards so people can go right over to the website and purchase tickets to a lot of these great.
Right.
I can't believe the sheer dimension. This may come off sounding a little bit patronizing or something, but I was expecting a much smaller slate of films. The sheer number, I was so impressed by. Just the number of films you guys are programming into these 4 or 5 days. It's or 5 days, I should say. It's pretty impressive.
Thank you. Yeah, you know, I know some people think because it's it's my festival that it's a documentary.
I know
festival, but
yeah,
first of all, I have my Fight Club rules. Except these are the rules for a documentary.
Okay. okay.
filmmaking.
Yeah.
And rule number one in Fight Club, of course, is don't talk about Fight Club. But rule number one in documentary filmmaking is don't make a documentary, make a movie.
Right.
Because you're asking people to come and experience it
yes.
in this setting. They don't go to the movie theater for a sermon or a history lecture, a political rally even. They come and expect you to see a movie. And I think, and I've encouraged documentary filmmakers, you know, for years, to, if they made their documentaries more like movies, they would have a larger audience. And a theatrical distribution.
Sure. That makes a lot of sense. Well, I also wanted to bring up one thing before we get into some of the, maybe, I don't know how much time you have, but so I want to respect your time frame because I know you've got a lot of stuff coming.
Yeah, yeah, no, I'm good. I'm
okay.
Good. Yeah, I'm good.
The theme, this I really wanted to get to first, actually, before we maybe do a little deep diving, but the theme of this festival this year is Cinema Can Save the World. So the question that I have, I guess, is does the world need saving, Michael? explain. you came up with this, it sounds like.
The world needed saving a long time ago. I'm only worried that we might be too late with hoping that movies can contribute to something here. But, you know, movies can make a difference. Movies do create change. You only have to look. You don't go any farther than what Ava DuVernay did this month.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of
when they see us,
taking a story from 30 years ago and getting things reopened,
mm-hmm.
Getting a discussion going nationwide. It's really, I think movies matter, and I think that, especially, and I don't just mean in terms of political change, I think that there's a malaise right now in the country. I think most people would agree. There's like this low-level despair.
Yeah.
You hear it, you see it, and it's a combination of things, not the least of which, of course, is dear leader in the White House, but... I think that art, in general, throughout history, when people are going through times like this, art has saved people, saved them from going insane, saved them from making wrong decisions to hopefully get the world in a better place. It creates thinking and ideas and discussion. It allows you to cathartically live through the life of fictional characters, but characters that are very relatable to what you're going through.
Mm.
So I think that, and it's something really, I think that, you know, books do it in a different way, live theater does it in a different way. There's something about film and a movie and the concept of editing, of where the audience accepts a jump in time, location, and space, in order to tell the story, and you can do, and the vision and the jump can be visual.
Mm-hmm.
It has quite an amazing effect, I think, on people, especially while the lights are out. You've separated yourself from the reality that you came inside from, and I've noticed in these two theaters that I've restored up here in northern Michigan, and I've helped to restore a couple of others. In nearby communities, these theaters have become kind of like a sort of a town hall, where people gather, and different groups or people ask if they can bring a film or show something, and so we let the community use the theater.
Huh.
And
is the State Theater one of the theaters you're talking about? The State.
Yes, the State Theater, and the other one in Traverse City is called the Bijou by the Bay. And
very good. Mm-hmm.
And then there's the Vogue in Manistee, Michigan, about 60 miles south of here.
Okay.
And the Lyric up in Harbor Spring. And then I've contributed just financially to a couple of other theaters in Elk Rapids and Frankfort, Michigan, here. So, I mean, I've been very active in the state and believing that these single-screen movie theaters can really help bring a town together and help it economically. Yes. Et cetera. So,
also, you know, in terms of just like what you're getting, another thing you're getting at maybe is that after you see a film that has a meaning, you know, it's really a catalyst for a conversation. And what, you know, what, what's,
yes.
You know, and that in a way is the conversation itself is really the price of admission often. And it's what we can't get, no matter how great a screen we may have at home, an audio system at home. I don't know that people even think about what they're not getting when they don't go to what you know to a screening where there is that kind of conversation as well, and where you may make a new friend or meet the filmmaker and have this really powerful experience. And the festival is, it's all about that. You know, it's a concentration of 5 days in this case of nothing but that, and then all these opportunities to socialize with people that love movies like yourself and to meet the people in the industry maybe that are visiting. So it's a very enriching experience.
Oh, you described that so perfectly because that's exactly what happens. The movie continues after the movie is over.
Yeah.
In where people go to the restaurant and talk. Mm-hmm. Or we actually have spaces in the park behind the movie theater where anybody wants to continue the discussion or the Q&A or whatever, we go to the park. And it has quite an effect. Also, you know, I'm bringing filmmakers from a dozen, two dozen countries here and their stories. And so, you know, we're in northern Michigan. You know,
yeah.
I don't know what to say. We're 150 miles from the nearest four-year college. If you turn right or left out of town here, you won't encounter a shopping mall for 150 miles.
Wow!
After you leave town, I mean, it's very isolated in that sense, and so you don't have the contact with the world that you have in a large city. So. It does something.
How much is the rent?
I think when you're here and you'll talk to people, you'll see that.
Yeah.
The effect it's had on people, I've seen that effect. I've seen the things that others have decided to go and start or do here, with the arts, whether it's a lecture series that started, the library. Knowledge is respected, and information is respected, and the arts are respected.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't really a good way to explain it, but when I first moved up here, this town voted Republican. They
really, is that true?
Voted for W, and I was just thinking, I'm not trying to draw a correlation, but ever since we opened the theaters and the film festival started, they haven't voted for a Republican since, for president or for governor. And in fact, in the Michigan primary in the last election in 2016, the city voted 70% for Bernie, 30% for Hillary.
Wow, this is amazing. You're on to something.
Ann Arbor was 68% Bernie. So a higher percentage for Bernie here in Traverse City, in a city that only voted for Republicans before this time. Now, I'm not saying that because, if people just watch more foreign movies and documentaries. For Democrats. I'm saying that when people's minds are open.
Yes.
And when they see how people are living around the country, around the world, the hate dissipate.
Right.
And
yeah, I see what you mean.
You don't hear people in town talking about those immigrants.
Interesting.
You don't. They tried. You know, before we opened the theaters and the film festival, the mayor thought it would be nice to have a rainbow bumper sticker that just said Traverse City. And they started a recall campaign to remove her from office because of her so-called, you know, pro-gay attitude.
Yeah.
You know, that...
Now they're marching in the streets.
Yeah, it's gone from that pre-film festival to... They just told me here that the Pride Parade 2 weeks ago in Traverse City was the largest one in the state of Michigan.
That's reassuring. I mean, these anecdotes are really important for people to hear. But I do think you're right. I think that you might be onto something, and I think we should start a campaign to bring festivals and theaters to as many towns in red states as we can.
Yeah, no. I believe that because, you know, I mean, Bill Maher makes this point that he loves to play the red state because he recognizes that even if Alabama won 60% Trump, that means 40% didn't vote for him.
Yes,
and 40% of a state that I don't know how many millions live in Alabama. Let's say it's 7 million. I don't know, but 40% of 7 million, that's, you know, 3 million people. Why would you not want to reach the 3 million people?
Of course. That's right. And Mar also says, I'm sorry to interrupt, I apologize.
No.
But Mar also says that, you know, he really pushes his lefty guests to go on to Fox News, or rather, because you're preaching to the choir. Going on MSNBC is not going to get new people out there to vote as open-minded in the way we're talking about. Being more open-minded, you've got to reach those folks.
We may not be able to convince. If you're still for Trump after all this, I don't know if I can convince you otherwise.
No, you can't.
But what I do know is that the largest political party in the United States of America is the non-voter party. And so that, seriously, you know, there's 100 million people that don't vote. And I believe I and others can reach them. And I don't mean reach them to just vote for a Democrat. I mean reach them with information to encourage their empathetic selves so that they're tolerant and accepting of those who are different than them. Mm-hmm. Adam, hang on just 1 second. I got to put you on hold for 1 second.
Understood.
Hang on.
Sure.
Sorry, Adam. I'm doing a run game some lunch for people that are...
I understand.
Everybody's busy. Hey, I'll go get him. Yeah.
Hi there. There you go. Hey, thank you.
Sorry.
No problem.
don't quote me saying this, but this will be the only interview you ever do with an obstacle when you're driving through the dark window to pick up lunch with volunteers.
Oh, you're picking up a volunteer?
No, I'm picking up lunch.
Lunch for the volunteers. Oh, what? Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, are you actually? Oh, you're at the. Are you at the window or whatever?
Yeah, I'm at the delivery window.
That's funny. Wow, I might volunteer next year.
Yeah. Oh, it's a wonderful thing. We have like close to 2,000 volunteers. It's people love to do. They come from all over the country to volunteer too. And we have, you know, it's also the festival. I put it together so that, I mean, that we have, I mean, our board, we have three Oscar winners on the board. We have two other board members who are Oscar nominees.
Mm-hmm.
Then we have the guitar player from Rage Against the Machine.
Of course.
And, thank you. Can I have a bag for the, thank you. And Jeff Daniels, who's playing Atticus Finch right now.
And he's in a movie. He's in one of the films in the festival with Timothy Busfeld directed, correct?
Oh, good. Oh, thank you so much. Bye-bye. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
I was saying that You mentioned Jeff Daniels. He's in a Michigan made film at the festival this year, yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Directed by Timothy Busfield.
Yeah, and Timothy lives in Michigan here now with his wife, Melissa Gilbert.
Oh, I see. That makes sense because she's producer on the film. I see. I didn't know they were married.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, they're married and they live. I think down near Ann Arbor, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of Christine Lotti is on our board.
Okay.
And
I love her.
She grew up in suburban Detroit and has a place up here in Traverse City. It's a good group of people.
Well, let's just quickly, I don't know how much time you have, but I want to just quickly go through a few titles just to get, so we can touch on at least a few or events that are going on. So, you know, which I think helps to highlight the kind of festival that you guys are putting together. I mean, you know, there's, of course, the opening night, Brittany Runs a Marathon, centerpiece film is After the Wedding, I guess this is adapted from the, I think it was either a Danish film originally, but... This is with Julianne Moore, and the closing night film, Blinded by the Light, from the director Bendit like Beckham, Gurinder Chadha. But I'm interested in also, for one thing, I was very fortunate to be a juror at the Lighthouse International Film Festival, which is this beautiful little festival, or beautiful festival, I should say, on Long Beach Island. And there they played, because Jeff Reichert, who is Julia Reichert's nephew, and a producer on American Factory. He grew up going to Long Beach Island, or grew up there. The families, the Reicherts, are from Long Beach Island. So they showed American Factory there, and I got to see it there. And I have to say, and I know you guys are doing a tribute to the works of Julia Reichert, which is, you know, well-earned. But what an amazing documentary. One of the best I've seen in a while.
Oh, that's for sure.
It's powerful.
Boy, the access they got was incredible.
That's got to be a film that you look at, Michael, and say, damn it, I wish I made that one. I can't write it.
No, I think, well, first of all, it's weird because I went to the MoMA screening of it.
Okay.
And I said to the crowd there that you know, what an inspiration she was.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when I first saw Growing Up Female,
yeah,
you know, I was a teenager, and it turned my head around.
Wow! You know?
I think I was 20, but it was really an amazing film. And so she was an early influencer.
Really?
For me.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
And then she told the audience how my films have influenced her later films, and. You know, because her early films were, you know, about, you know, seeing red and early feminism. Maybe our, you know, one of our first feminist filmmakers. Probably
absolutely,
the word wasn't being used.
No, I was going to say there wasn't probably even a language around that. You're right. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So, mm-hmm. But her kind of post-industrial America film, you know, is I mean, when I meet Roger and Me, I hoped that there would be, you know, numerous movies being made about the issue of corporate America, capitalism, greed, and, you know, it's generally not a topic, if you've noticed, with documentaries. There's very few documentaries are being made about what's going on right now. A lot of documentaries about what happened in the past, which is good. A lot of documentaries about what's going on in other countries, which is good. But to find many documentaries about what's going on right now,
mm-hmm.
in the U.S., think about that. Look at the just the past few years of the shortlist of the Oscars, those 15 films. There's maybe two or three in mm-hmm. each batch, but that's it. The rest are personal films.
Or biographical.
The Odyssey of Finding My Father.
Mm-hmm.
Something artistic, or, you know, and they're good films, don't get me wrong. But we need right now more than ever people making movies about what we're going through
yeah.
and how to get out of it. because I think our time right now is limited. Film can help lead us out of this darkness.
Well, American Factory is... I'm personally want to recommend people see it, but I will give an example of something you just touched on, a different kind of documentary, but it's one of my favorites that's at the festival. And then you can name some that I won't hog up all the time. But my friend Davey Rothbart made a documentary called 17 Blocks, which I saw at Tribeca. And he spent decades on this film, and he brought out the whole family. It was like a big party that day, but just, and an emotional screening, to say the least. Is that one of the ones you saw and chose? Because I wanted to make sure you see 17 Blocks if maybe you didn't.
No. I'm glad you said that one. very powerful. I don't know if they've arranged for any of them to come here.
They have.
They are, right?
Yeah, they're bringing out the like a bunch of the family just for one day or something.
Good. I knew they were trying, but I didn't know.
Yeah, they
had been.
They have some annual big thing where they send kids to camp, and that's happening right on top of the festival. But I think they're squeezing in the they're getting everybody out there for that for your screen, at least one of the screenings of 17 Blocks.
The level of commitment and stick-to-itiveness to make a film like that is very powerful. It gives me a lot of hope. And these are, you know, the films obviously I want to champion. That's why I'm bringing them here.
Yeah.
But there's also, I was going to say...
Please.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was just saying, please bring up anything you want.
Oh, yeah, okay. I throughout the years, have brought provocative films to the festival because I want to generate this discussion that we need to have.
Mm-hmm.
The top candidate for that this year is Planet of the Humans, and it's a powerful and disturbing film about we may be on the wrong path to saving the planet and climate change and whatever, and that some of the people leading us down that path have financial interests in the so-called green movement. And that we have better get on top of this quickly, because we already know we're probably too late for a lot of this.
Yeah.
In terms of, you know, the planet. But this filmmaker has spent over a decade documenting and covering. He is an environmentalist himself, and he's lived his life that way since he was in college, he's made a film that it's going to tell some awful truth.
Is it Al Gore? He's even going to give Al Gore nightmares.
Yes.
Sorry, I don't mean to make light of it. This is Jeff Gibbs you're talking about, the director.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and I hesitate only because my film last year, I love President Obama. And voted for him twice. He's the best president of our lifetime.
I would agree with that.
But I had to show him drinking the water in Flint.
Yeah, I know. You're talking about in Fahrenheit 11/9, where he visits Flint, your hometown, and kind of as a joke. I don't know. It was so tone deaf that it's almost impossible to imagine that it was a joke. That he drank the water to show. I think. It probably wasn't a joke.
That it was okay to drink when it wasn't okay to drink. I asked John Podesta, his campaign chair, why, mm-hmm. did he do that? And he said, I don't know. I have no idea who allowed that to happen.
Okay.
It was a huge mistake. I said, yeah, because you know the data for Hillary. I mean, it was Hillary. He ran Hillary's thing.
Yeah.
You know the data for Hillary. 8,000 African-Americans in Flint alone stayed home.
Wow.
These are 8,000 African Americans who voted in the last two elections, but stayed home
mm-hmm.
and didn't. And Hillary lost the state by about 11,000 votes.
Wow.
and 8,000 African-American voters in Flint stayed home because everybody felt betrayed. And
probably just also the futility, you know, of why bother, right? You know.
Yeah, why bother? No, it's totally that. Malaise. They're not for Trump. Yeah. They didn't go vote for Trump.
No, I get it. They were like, they just didn't vote. Yeah, that's the problem.
They just didn't vote.
You mentioned before and, the biggest party is non-voters. I heard you. Yeah.
So Jeb's film challenges the audience to look at the climate change issue and how we're going to solve it in an entirely different way. And it will require you leaving your comfort zone while you watch it. You know, it's so rare these days in journalism or film, documentaries, where we're willing to go after our sacred cows.
Yeah.
Where we're willing to bite the hand that feeds us. You know, there are, you know, funds and foundations that are very supportive of documentary filmmakers.
Mm-hmm.
They may not like this film.
Okay. Wow.
And so the risk he takes as a filmmaker is he may have a hard time getting funding for his next film.
But he sees the bigger picture.
That's okay, because it's so powerful. And so I went to a test screening of it, and tears, you know, running down everyone's cheeks. And not tears over it's all hopeless, but rather it really comes from a reaction. I think that people will leave this movie angry and wanting to do something to fix this right away, because it's fixable on our stuff. You know, we don't know how to fix the right wing of the Trumpsters. We don't, you know, we may not be able to fix that, but we can fix us. And that's what the film essentially asks us to do.
I see.
And it doesn't mean change out your light bulbs to the more energy efficient kind, or
right.
more weather stripping, or put a solar panel on your roof. This goes deeper and cuts wider, and I wrote in the blurb, it might end up being the most provocative film that we've shown in our 15 years.
This is really high praise, to say the least. But okay, so it's called Planet of the Humans, which actually is going to have its world premiere at the Traverse City Film Festival. Two screenings, one on Wednesday night. I won't be able to be there for that one, but that's at 6:00 at the State Theater. And then on Friday, which I will be at, now that you've more than talked me into it, it will be playing at Friday at noon at the Kubrick. And I'll be at that screening for sure.
Okay, good. Yeah, I think you have to. You definitely have to see this film.
I will. Definitely going to see it.
And if I'm going to screen a couple of the films, possibly in New York before the festival, the week before the festival.
Oh.
Just to give some people a heads up.
Oh, and, very good. Well, I definitely want to.
If that happens, Adam will let you know.
That's perfect, because the more I can see beforehand, that gives me other titles to see while I'm there. You know, that's fantastic. I'm assuming your volunteers are hungry, so.
Yeah, that's okay. I'm keeping it warm. Like 5 more minutes, baby.
Okay, so real quick, we mentioned the Julia Reichert American Factory and the tribute, so they'll be showing. Also, there's a tribute to another hero of mine. When I was a young man, I think maybe still, I'm not sure I was even out of high school yet. I probably was, but Lily Tomlin saw Searching for Signs of Intelligent Life in the Universe on Broadway. My parents took me and my sister to see that. But I was already,
oh my God.
But I was already a fan when I was growing up. Every Monday night, my parents went, in the 70s, my parents went to their group therapy session on Monday nights. And I would wait up and I would watch Laughing every Monday night.
Laughing.
And I would remember
Monday night.
Right, Monday nights. Edith Ann and Ernestine, and so I love Lily Tomlin. I got to meet her once, but I was too shy to talk to her. Too shy. So I'm hoping maybe since you guys.
Oh, you have to talk to her. Yeah, here. Absolutely.
I you know.
She's wonderful.
Yeah.
She's still so funny. She's a very kind soul.
And a Detroit native.
And she's a Detroit native, that's right. Yeah. You know, we were thinking of doing something actually because there's all these great comedians that come out of Detroit. Robin Williams.
Oh, my God.
Gilbert Radner.
That's right. Oh, my gosh.
Lily Tomlin. Yeah, this is, you know, we've been trying, over the years, we've been honoring the Michigan native.
Well, Lily's the only survivor of that group you mentioned, and
she's the only survivor, that's right.
Of that particular group, and you know, on August 11th, it'll be 5 years since Robin Williams died. I can't believe that, but...
Oh, wow, yeah.
But at Lily Tomlin, so she'll be there. You're showing a few films of her that she was in, plus she'll be doing a talk, right?
Yes, she's going to do a one-on-one with me.
Oh, with you. Totally coming to that. Yeah. And that is, I should know this already, but it's an honorary achievement award, or?
Yes, a lifetime achievement award.
Okay.
And you don't have to be from Michigan to receive it.
Oh, you don't?
No.
It helps, though.
We did it for Susan Sarandon. We've done it for a number of people.
Right.
Over the years, Paul Mazursky.
Wow.
He's definitely missed. It'll be good. People also just can tell her from the election last year. She and Jane Fonda went around the state campaigning, trying to get a ballot proposal on the ballot so that people that work in the restaurant industry, waitresses, waiters, are able to receive the same minimum wage as everybody else.
Right, yeah, there's some little weird exception.
Yeah, well, they say because they count the tip.
That's ridiculous.
You get to pay them $2 or $3 an hour. I'm not sure what the exact number is, but...
Assuming you're working for an... Go ahead.
Yeah, and a lot of times they never get to see those tips.
That's what I was going to say. You're assuming you're working for an honest... I hate to say that, but it's what I keep hearing from people in the food industry, you know, or service industry.
Right.
Okay, so Lily Tomlin, and then do we forget anything else? Because I think
we have a sidebar of two or three films. If you have the guy that you did there, we're focusing on young people, teenagers and young adults.
Yes, After Parkland.
Doing different things to stand up and fight. Something that we're also focusing on this year. We've got Kathy Griffin coming. She's already sold out. We just added a second screening.
And she's there. And that's been I have to come to that.
And that's already created a little bit of ruckus in town.
I bet.
Just because of what she did with Trump.
Sure. Well, I'm going to cover. If there's other things, I'll bring them up in my intro to this episode, so you don't have to worry about like forgetting anything. Or if I'll go over things with Adam as well, just to make sure I hit every germane.
All right.
Germane.
Are you able to? You're going to. Was this audio okay? Or?
Look, I approached you at that holiday party, Tia and Carl's holiday party. I don't know if you remember that. But, I've been watching your films, not to gush, but I've been watching your films, frankly, as they've come out since you started yourself with Roger and me. And, I just really wanted to have the opportunity to talk. And this is perfect. So this worked out really perfectly. To be involved with this festival is a delight, and I can't wait to come out to see it. So.
Oh, great. Well, I'm looking forward to you coming, and thanks for doing that.
Sure. And I'll make sure to say hello while I'm there. So thanks for doing this, and
I'll definitely see you here. Yeah.
People can visit TraverseCityFilmFest.org for tickets and more details. Thank you. And one thing, Michael, just before you hang up, do you mind just saying, we could do this in person too, of course, but if you just say, this is, you know, Michael Moore, and you're listening to Film Wax Radio, and then I have that, and I can occasionally pop it into the show.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Ready?
Yeah, anytime you are.
Okay. Hi, this is Michael Moore, and you're listening to Film Wax Radio.
I love it. Thank you.
I gave you my radio voice.
You did? I noticed that. Thank you.
Okay, Adam.
All right.
See you in driver's seat.
You bet. Let me know what you think, folks. Write in. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. We're on Instagram. You can also reach us through the website. There is an email link. I will respond to your email. But there's lots of ways to get through to FilmWax Radio. Please share this show with anybody you know and get the good word out. Leave us a star rating and a review on iTunes. Help us out. And we'll hopefully bring lots more great guests like Michael Moore onto the podcast. So next week, Guy Nativ, the director of Skin, which will be coming out Friday, July 26th in theaters. And we'll also have on the editor of that film, friend of mine and friend of the podcast, Michael Taylor, will be on the show. All that and far more coming up here on FilmWax Radio. Until next time, please take care of yourselves and the ones you love. Broken lines, broken strings.